Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter 23. We'll be looking at verses 26 through 34. You'll find it on page 884 of your pew Bible. If you're utilizing a pew Bible, that is Luke chapter 23, verses 26 through 34. There are seven statements that our Lord made while he was on the cross. This evening, in the time that I have, I'm going to comment on the first one. You'll find that statement in verse 34 of this passage. I'll be reading the passage, as I indicated, for context. But the centrality of what you'll be hearing will be concerning verse 34. This is God's holy and inerrant word, so let us give careful attention to it as it is being read. The word of God. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren in the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments." Our glorious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would now speak through us, to the end that Christ would be magnified, to the end that we would understand the measure of your love towards us as revealed in our Savior. And we pray this in his name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Award-winning actor Bradley Cooper recently shared an intimate thought concerning himself and his 7-year-old daughter, Leah. In a moment of open candor, he said that when his daughter, Leah, was born, he wasn't exactly sure how he felt about her. He explained that before Leah came into the world in 2017, he had a hard time understanding why any parent would say, "I would die for my child in a second." He then went on to say, "If I'm being honest, the first 8 months, I don't even know if I even really loved the kid." He said, "I was fascinated by her. I loved taking care of her, but would I die for her if someone came in with a gun?" I imagine Cooper was thinking, as we would also think if we were honest and candor like him, would I be willing to give my all for another in the process, and in the process suffer the worst fate, the worst possible fate, the loss of my own life, so that someone else could be rescued from losing theirs? Romans 5:7 says, "One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though for a good person one would even dare to die. Maybe we might sacrifice ourselves a little for those who are good, for those who have stuff, but would we give ourselves up to the greatest degree for someone who was wretched and down and no good in our eyes?" Well, brothers and sisters, I submit to you that's what we have here in our text, a picture of someone who willingly gave up his life, and someone who did so for the very ones who were guilty of perpetuating the most horrendous of act, crucifying him, and for the ones who put them up to it, and for the ones who were just as guilty as they both were, you and I. The fact is, all the folks that I just mentioned, the guards who killed them, the civil and religious leaders who put them up to it. And you and I had all the same problem that resulted in our Lord being put on that cross. The problem, you see, of sin. By one man, Adam, sin came into the world, we're told in Romans 5. And through sin, death. For all have sinned, every last one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That sin, brothers and sisters, corrupted our minds, our ability to think justly, to look beyond ourselves into the best interests of others and the God who created us for his glory and for his purposes. The folks in our text, you see, were in possession of irrational minds that invariably produce irrational behavior. We see plenty of that around us today. But they, if they really and experientially understood who it was they were treating the way they did, they would not have done what they did. If that was as they were free from the bondage of sin, if they knew that it was the Lord of glory who created everything, and all things were created by him for him, and that the very breath that they were breathing was coming from him, if they knew that, they would not. If their minds were not corrupted, their being was not corrupted, they would not have done so. If their minds were free to understand these things, they would not have spoken the way they did, nor would they have done what they did. Warped in their thinking, they just, like we are, we're desperately in need of being rescued from the ravages and consequences of sin. They, being blinded by the deceitfulness of sin, like we are, needed a prophet, a mouthpiece from God to teach them that they had no hope from within themselves, a priest to stand in the gap for them, and a perfect sacrifice to present the proper payment, the just payment for the measure of sin. There needed to be someone, you see, who had the capacity to love and understand them, understand us in spite of who we are. And that is what we see right here in our text. Our text shows us that our Lord was indeed a prophet. He was indeed the most holy priest, and he was the Lamb that came to take away the sins of the world. I'll briefly just point those things out for you. First, as a prophet, in verses 28 through 31, Jesus tells them of the coming judgment. As a mouthpiece from God himself, he reveals that which will invariably happen without a shadow of doubt. Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say that the mountains fall on us. Judgment has come. The payment, the wages of sin has come. Fall on us. Cover us from that. For if they do these things, he goes on to say, when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Bad news, brothers and sisters, for those who do not turn to our Lord and Savior and recognize what happened here before us. But on the heel of this bad news, there is good news. For in verse 34, he steps into his office of a high priest, turns his attention to his Father, and utters an intercessory prayer on their behalf. Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He is hanging on a cross, nails in his hands and in his feet at this time. Pain, agony. And yet this is what he says. Father, you who love me from eternity past, I imagine he is thinking or saying, you who sent me as a consequence of the love you have for me and for them. For you gave them to me before the foundation of the world, you who love me perfectly, and them, you so loved them that you gave me your only begotten Son, that any that would believe in me would have eternal life. You, Father, it is to this end that I ask that you do not hold this charge against them, for they are broken. It is to this very end that you spoke through the prophet Ezekiel, saying, I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. They need a new spirit, for they are broken. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Father, they are in need of your grace that will bring this about. And those mercies that are renewed each and every day. You did not send me into the world, Father, to die, to condemn the world, rather, but that they might be saved through me. Hear me, Father, as I pray and intercede for these that you've given me. Brothers and sisters, that was our Lord's petition. And you know, it's interesting that when it says Jesus said, and goes on to say, forgive them, the word said is in the imperfect tense, which means that it was a past action with a continuing force. What does that mean? The entire time while he was on the cross suffering, he kept on thinking. His disposition was, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. The entire time. What love, what sacrifice. Our Lord's petition, prayed in line with the Father's will, was fully granted, brothers and sisters. How do you ask? By and through his death. You see, he was the perfect high priest. And as the perfect high priest, without sin, he walked into the Holy of Holies, not with the presentation of an unblemished lamb in his hands, but with the presentation of himself as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist so rightly told us. You see, he did and accomplished what no one else could. He died for us because we could not die for ourselves. We could not commend ourselves to God. And so, brothers and sisters, through it all, as a song so says, now you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, irrational, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you, me, us, holy and blameless and above reproach before him. All to the praise of his glory. Brothers and sisters, that is good news on this day and forevermore. Let's pray. Father, were it not for your spirit, we could never understand why a day which marks such a horrendous act could ever be labeled good. But thanks be to you, for it is through your grace and through the enablement of your spirit that we now know and understand the measure of your love for us. For you gave us your Son, your only begotten Son. You allowed him to suffer in a manner that we could never fully comprehend, doing so on our behalf, all for the wonderful purpose of bringing us into a right relationship with you, our thrice holy God. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Thank you, Father, for the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the salvation he gives to those who place their faith in him. Thank you for the celebration of this day where we get to recognize the wonder of your grace in and through the finished work of our Lord. To your honor, praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.